The planet Earth continued. My dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities, and therefore you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter, and tell me who can give me protection. Purport. The planet Earth herein exhibits the symptoms of full surrender before the Lord. As stated, no one can protect the person whom Krishna is prepared to kill, and no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. Because the Lord was prepared to kill the planet Earth, there was no one to give protection to her. We are all receiving protection from the Lord, and it is therefore proper that every one of us surrender unto him. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructs, Sarvadamang parijajamangi kang sharanam vraja hantang sarvapavibhyo mukshayikshami mahshucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, my dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home. Sorry, I didn't read this right. My dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. You are now completely independent to act however you like. If you like, you can kill me, and if you like, you can save me. In any case, I am your eternal servant, and you have every right to do whatever you like. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Yasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation. The planet Earth continued. My dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation in the three material qualities, and therefore you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter, and tell me who can give me protection. This shloka appears in the section of Bhagavatam where Maharaj Prito becomes angry at the planet Earth because she independently decided to withhold her natural production of grains and other eatables. There was a time when planet Earth had done this also. It was at a time when she was given away by one king. At that time, the planet Earth became highly disheartened and said, I won't stay here any longer. I will leave my body. I will leave the Earth and Bhumi, who is the personified form. This is what we mean with earth. She decided actually to leave us all, to go to Lord Brahma in order to take refuge in him. So just like your body becomes useless when you leave it, the planet itself becomes useless when Bhumi, the personified form, leaves it. And human beings were experiencing great trouble on the earth. This is an important point to understand from the Vedic literature, that actually everything exists in a personal form. There is a presiding deity for each planet. Here it is Bhumi. And this presiding deity takes care of the welfare of this planet. He's in charge, having given this charge by the Supreme Lord. So at the time when Bhumi left, Kashyapa thought this was a highly independent decision. She should not have done so. And therefore, he entered with his spirit into this planet Earth and kept the grains, grain production alive. Kashyapa made such nice arrangements that fruits were growing abundantly, grains were going very nicely, and religious activities saw an increase on this planet Earth. And when finally, after 36,000 years, Bhumi returned, she was surprised to see that in her absence everything went on even better than when she was in charge, and she paid her humble obeisances to Kashyapa and again took on her duties in taking care of this planet Earth. This is an account told by Vayu to the bride Katavira Arjuna. It appears in Mahabharata. So also here, the earth had again done something independent, and Prito was highly enraged about her activities. He confronted her with his weapons, and Bhumi at that time had taken on the form of the cow, and she noticed that this was not all right what she had done. The Supreme Personality of God had another plan, and as we hear from this section of the Bhagavatam, she finally surrendered to Prito Maharaj and again took on her activities of producing grains and fruits and so on and so forth. So Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport of this, to this verse, about surrender. Planet Earth actually exhibited the symptoms of full surrender before her Lord. She noticed, now I'm in the hands of Prito Maharaj. He can kill me, and if he has decided to do so, there will be no protection within the whole universe for me. And Prabhupada, he quotes the attitude of someone who is surrendered. He gives everything into the charge of the Lord. Whatever I have, sings Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even my mind, also the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. You are now completely independent to act however you like. this is full surrender. It's this full surrender can take place in the life of a conditioned soul, either when he becomes completely distressed and sees how hopeless his plans to enjoy in this world are, or, which is the better way, if the conditioned soul actually develops an attraction to Krishna by hearing from great souls about the glorious qualities of the Lord. This surrender of the Lord can be seen in the first rung also amongst materialists. When materialists experience the pains of material existence, they actually become religious minded. On the train to Ljubljana, to here, we met a professor who told me that once he was on a plane from Beograd to Zagreb, I believe, and there was a high-ranking communistic general just next to him. So the plane, these communistic people are not convinced of God, of course, so this plane was experiencing some troubles. It was shaken by the winds, and he saw how this communist began praying to the God, and only when the shaking of the plane deceased, he turned to his neighbor and said, "Don't tell this to anyone." But I just was so afraid. And we also experienced this on our preaching tour, during the end of it, as you might have heard already. These kind of stories spread quick in our Sangha. When we had our preaching program in Ljubljana, the National Army at that time attacked the town. They wanted to overtake a certain building of state government, which was just next to our place where we had our program. So they shot from helicopters into the people, and our devotees experienced a great realization when the bullets went just 1 meter next to them into the asphalt, into the street. They became very serious, and so did the people. Just before the program started, two bombs exploded just before the hall. I mean, it was just before. And I told this already to Vishwadev Prabhu and our Maharaj, that to experience a bomb exploding just next to you, it's a quite frightening experience. It's not only the sound which is so frightening, but the pressure which is created in the air, which somehow moves your whole body. The people were just screaming in the audience. They just had taken the seats, and then it happened. So we had to calm them down. No, it's nothing. Don't worry. And, anyways, who can protect you now? Might as well remain here and hear about how to obtain your eternal life. So they did so. And by the influence of the holy name and the Krishna Katar, the atmosphere actually turned into a very blissful atmosphere, where fear was only existing as a memory, but not, they were free of fear. Abhaya, this is explained by Govinda Das Kaviraj. Abhaya Charanaravindare, these two lotus feet of Krishna, can actually instill fearlessness upon him who meditates on those on these feet. So we are explaining this all in the context of forced surrender. I mean, the circumstances become so heavy, then even an atheist will absorb his mind in God consciousness. However, a devotee does not belong to those who remain in the category of forced surrender. A devotee wants to surrender voluntarily to Sri Krishna, and he knows that this voluntary surrender will be the result of a life of sincere devotional service. To surrender to Krishna is, in times when there are no external fears, and when there is no material pressure, requires purity and love. And purity and love will only come about when we are free from vitaraga and bhaya, from attachment, anger and fear. Lord Krishna expresses in the Bhagavad Gita that freed from fear, from attachment, anger and fear, many great souls have attained transcendental love from me through knowledge about me. And he advises Arjuna to follow the path of these great souls. Now, as we members of the movement for Krishna consciousness approach Krishna, we will have to also approach this subject matter to become free from attachment. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta vajhante mangritha rataha. He speaks of determination to surrender to Krishna. And he says, it is only possible by those who have acted piously in this life, in a life before this life, and in this life, and who are free from the duality of delusion. Now, as you all know, we have not acted piously, at least not in this life, before we came to Krishna consciousness. And only rare cases of devotees have acted very piously in their previous lives. There are cases like this in our movement of great souls who were already devotees in their last life, but generally a devotee likes to consider himself as a very fallen person who maybe at his last life made some agyata sukriti, that means he obtained the association of devotees and got maybe a little prasadam or transcendental literature or something without his knowledge. It's safer to think of yourself or of ourselves as fallen souls who did not make our appearance here to rescue the living entities of Kali Yuga. It's much safer. So in this life we will have to address then the point how we can become very determined to in our Krishna consciousness. It's easy for those who are great souls, it's difficult for those who are not freed from the duality of illusion, who are in other words still in vitaraga and bhaya, in attachment, anger and in fear. Now, the process of Krishna consciousness is a process which is very powerful, which can act and purify a devotee in an amazingly short amount of time. However, the process of Krishna consciousness has to be applied in a scientific way. If you have a powerful medicine which can act very strongly, but you do not apply it according to the rules, this medicine won't even work. So I would like to draw your attention on a point which might inspire and help you in your appliance of Krishna consciousness. We said Krishna consciousness can take effect very quickly because it is a transcendental process and which is not dependent on our qualities and disqualifications. Krishna consciousness acts like fire. Fire does not consider if someone knows about it or not. You put your hand into it, it works as an objective reality. Means it burns you and everyone on this planet, even the child who is in ignorance about it. However, fire can only burn, now I'm coming to my point, this appliance of Krishna consciousness, when the wood is dry. And the devotee who wants to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness has to make himself the endeavor that he is not wettened by material thoughts, by attachment, anger, and fear. This is important. You have a piece of wood and it's wet. Although fire is very powerful, it will take a long time before the piece of wood catches fire. In a similar analogous way, if we don't take care that we lose our attachments, then the process of Krishna consciousness will take a long, long time. As Prabhupada once answered to a guest who wanted to know how long it takes to become Krishna conscious, he said, in 1 second or not after many lives. If you are wet by material attachment, it takes a long, long time. And in fact, you will have to take birth and in another life form try to fulfill this unfulfillable material detachment. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Tesham evanukampatam aham agyana yangtama nasham yat mabhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion to them, I, dwelling within their hearts, he speaks of his devotees, with a shining lamp of knowledge, destroy the darkness of ignorance. Again, just like in our fire example, we will be only freed from attachment, and we will be only ignited in Krishna consciousness. This fire of knowledge will only burn within us. This jnana dipena, means torchlight of knowledge, will only burn in us when we are ready to give up our attachments. Please help me. Help me. And he said, yes. And told a story of a man who was in a well and shouted for help. Help me, help me. So someone gave a rope into the well. The man who was in the well again shouted, please help me to catch the rope, to catch the rope. That means he was not ready to take the help. Prabhupada said, the help is there for you. It is a process of devotional service. But now do not scream, help me to catch the rope. This you have to do yourself. We can only catch the rope and surrender to devotional service if we are free from material attachment. And this we have to do ourselves. This step we have to follow ourselves. When it says, by hearing about the Bhagavatam regularly, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. It says it's not completely destroyed, it's almost destroyed. So what is the rest which is still lingering in the heart? It is that material attachment which we have to give up ourselves voluntarily by using our free will. It has to do with free will. Now when we join the movement of Krishna consciousness, we hear basically of four attachments. It's attachment to meat, to illicit sexual connections, to intoxication, and to gambling. At the time of initiation, we promise with a sacred vow to abstain from these four attachments. As long as someone keeps these four attachments, the demon Mada will enter into his brain. Mada means madness. And he will not be able to follow the noble path of Krishna consciousness. So, in this circle of devotees, we do not really need to talk about giving these up, these four impious attachments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, spoke of two attachments which devotees should give up. He spoke of, actually, to my mind, now three things, instructions of Mahaprabhu come. And I can certainly imagine that when you research Mahaprabhu's teachings, you will find, oh, now if we have found six more attachments we have to give up. I mean, you can, I really didn't make an in-depth study before giving this lecture. So anyways, let's talk about what just comes immediately to mind. Now, one very devastating attachment is the attachment to women and money. These two things should be given up. Another strong attachment, which we have discussed yesterday with a nice brahmachari, is the attachment to activities in the association of devotees and non-devotees. When Mahaprabhu was asked, how can we recognize a devotee, he said, asatsang gatyagi, someone who has given up the association of non-devotees. At another time, he mentioned, you can recognize a devotee by seeing that he always chants the holy name. Anyway, this attachment to woman is very strong. It is, Prabhupada, he said, there is a very nice quote of Srila Prabhupada. There's a fire of Maya burning the very vitality of all living entities. That's a fire of attachment to women. Now, the half of our audience is Matajis, and I would like to read, therefore, so that we all understand the fullness of this statement, quote from Prabhupada, which I just happened to hear 2 days ago in a lecture. For the man, woman is woman. For woman, man is woman. Woman does not mean a particular class. Woman means that which are enjoyable. In this material world, a man is enjoyable by the woman, and the woman is enjoyable by the man. So for both of them, yoshit. Yoshit means enjoyable. See, when we talk so strictly about rules of brahmacharya, this is celibacy, we include our ladies in it. When we talk so strictly about the process of Krishna consciousness, which is dependent on giving up the attachments to the opposite side, sex, we include women in it. The tendency to enjoy is there within the heart of all conditioned souls, be they dressed up in the form of a man or in the form of the women. This dress is really not very important. What is important is a service which we can do. However, this service and the determination to serve is hampered by attachment to woman, or if you happen to be in the body of a woman, to man. This is very dangerous. It eats away all your vitality and all your determination to engage in service. This, again, I want to say, this body is not really important. The Bhagavatam, to make this point, tells us a story of Sudyumna. There is a forest where Lord Shiva enjoys with Parvati. It lies on the foot of Mount Meru. Once saints who wanted to see Lord Shiva came to this forest. However, Shiva was engaged in confidential activities with Parvati. When the saints entered, Parvati became very disturbed and just tried to cover her body so that the saints would not see her in this way. So when Shiva saw how his wife was so disturbed, he said, "Okay, Parvati, so that your emotions are no longer hurt again, I pronounce a statement. Anyone who from this day on enters this forest will have his body changed into the body of a woman." This is exactly what happened to Sudyumna and all his men. They innocently came into this forest. All of a sudden, they saw their body changed into the body of a woman, and they just, all they could do is stare each other in utter hopelessness. They were just so shocked. Imagine this happens to you. So later, by the potency of Vashishta, the king's body was changed back into a man, but this was even worse, because Vashishta could only change him for 1 year. Then he again became a woman. And then after that 1 year of being a woman, again for 1 year he became a king, a man. It was horrible. How can you rule like this? You know, every changing, and also the whole change, the whole mind changes all the time completely around. So the people were highly dissatisfied with their unnatural changing king, as you can well imagine. Anyways, the main point of this is that the body can be changed also by modern operations. This is done in these crazy times. This is not the point, man or woman. And sometimes I feel in our hectic ISKCON times that women are not understanding this point properly. They feel discriminated, which shows that the spirit of this philosophical point is not yet fully captured. we must be extremely careful not to become wet by material attachment. That's why we want to give up the enjoying spirit. In order to do so, we as people born in this Kali Yuga have to be extremely careful in regards to Sangha. Anyways, this is a very serious point, a point which deserves our attention much, and we will hold in not too distant time a seminar on this. It will be called Brahmacharya, the Path to Eternality, and you will hear from Vishwadev Prabhu when this seminar takes place, and I would like to encourage all of you to kindly participate. It will help you very much in your spiritual life. So that's one point. Becoming wet by attachments to the opposite sex. Another is becoming wet to attachments to money. In this movement, we of course have the philosophy of yukta vairagya, that is, we engage money in Krishna's service. However, while we are practicing this detachment in action, we must be highly responsible and understand the dangers of dealing with amounts of money and so on. And therefore, in Brahmachari Ashram, Brahmacharini Ashram, we are all giving our money away as soon as possible. We are not keeping anything for us. Now, this is a practice which must be followed by everyone. Sannyasis must also be careful about not keeping money in bank accounts, but engaging it immediately in the preaching mission. Otherwise, this money will destroy the spiritual fiber of a renunciant. So Mahaprabhu also said attachment is to non-devotees has to be given up, and there are then these 6 points which need to be dealt with in a separate lecture. It's those subtle attachments which arise when you practice Krishna consciousness, the attachment which has been described as weeds which grow just next to the Bhakti Lata beach. It's Putinasha, attachment to diplomatic behavior, then fault finding, then envy, then activities which are contrary to the process of the Vedic principles. Oh, Pratishtha, a very big one. Attachments to name, fame, and to glory. And there is another sixth attachment which is just not just present to my memory. Puja, worship. Anyways, I will just mention these 6 things because otherwise it gets too dense and too difficult to remember. The devotee who is in the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness must be aware to give up these enjoying tendencies. This means spiritual life. Spiritual life, Prabhupada said very humorously, does not mean to grow 4 hands. I wrote this down because it's so nice. Yes, it does not mean to grow 4 arms and legs, he even says. It means to give up this enjoying spirit. And he said, you cannot be mad actually for Krishna unless you give up the madness for the material enjoying mentality. As we said earlier, there is this curse pronounced about everyone who engages in these 4 principles. It is a curse pronounced by one Shravana Muni. He's mentioned in Bhagavatam. He's told some very interesting incident about his life. He's told, and he pronounce this curse, and you can see anyone who keeps attachment to these four things, illicit sex, meat eating, and this, these things, he becomes mad. So you, as long as you are attached, you, and be mad, in this way mad, you cannot become mad for Hare Guna, to listen to the qualities of Krishna, to involve your mind in Krishna consciousness. So in concluding this lecture, we want to read a very the concluding words of Prabhupada in Geneva in one Bhagavad Gita class. Please give your full attention. This is a very good instruction that you will hear now. This is very strong. And before actually reading it, I would like to just tell you all that when you look into the face of death, and that doesn't mean in a video by a Karmi, there's this video around. When you really look, when you have some experience in your life, how it is dangerous to live, it really changes you. Therefore, devotees in this movement should always remember three things. That is, the death is very close. We are passing through in this life. And the other is, use your time properly. Use your energy to, don't waste it, but do activities which elevate you. And thirdly, keep a good sangha, good association with the devotees. So these are three instructions given to us. Now, because I just come from a situation where I had the good fortune to reflect again about Smrit, about death, I just wanted to tell you, Prabhus, this is my gift to you, practical realization in the last days. We are only here for a short time. This is what I can say. So therefore Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Death may take place at any time. Any moment you can die. There's no guarantee how long you will live. Only the guarantee that we must die. Therefore, we must be prepared for death at any moment. Nowadays, death is very cheap. They're not in a very nice expression, very cheap. Not very difficult to get it. Because we are using these motor cars and airplanes and ships, every moment there's danger of accident or collapse. We must be prepared for death at any moment. Death is assured. So our only duty is to eat prasadam. No! So our only duty is to think of Krishna so that when we die at any moment we will be spiritually saved. This is our only duty. We have no other duty. How to remember Krishna 24 hours. This is the greatest yogic perfection. This Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's so nice that as soon as you chant, you immediately remember Krishna. Chanting means remembering. If I'm chanting and there is death, I'm remembering Krishna. So where is my fear? I'm going back to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. It is so nice. Always be engaged in Krishna consciousness, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, then you are sure and safe, not only in this life, but you are also going back home better. But you are also going back home better. Thank you very much. Very nice motto for devotional service. So, we conclude here. Do you have any questions? Well, first we will get our very experienced Pavishya Mataji, who almost died in a car accident. Yes? Yeah. She was in a car accident, Maharaj. She was violently flung out of the car. She flew through the air, landed, broke everything, had to lie down in a gips in this mass, which is stable, plaster in a plaster, and somehow survived. Continues on second time. Yeah, best experience. Bitte. Yes. And then the desire will come. In this, I remember a very nice lecture by Srila Jayapataka. And then the desire will come. In this, I remember a very nice lecture by Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, where he explained about desire and how to cultivate the desire. In this lecture, the subject was, you know, that we have desire Krishna. We have to desire Krishna. He said, if you can't do that, then desire that you desire Krishna. Now, if you cannot do this, then desire that you desire that you desire Krishna. In other words, you have expressed very honestly and very nicely our dilemma. It is difficult for a devotee who is not yet fully purified to really desire. Because desire is something which you cannot fake. It's not that you can, you know, externally maybe cheat yourself and others. It sounds a little drastic, dramatic. I don't mean to express it like this. But the desire is this most private thing which we have. It's most internal, and it cannot be. It awakes in the soul, which is purified in the process of devotional service. But you will make more advancement in devotional service if you desire to become purified. One should be disturbed with seeing one's anattas, and one should think, well, this is too much. If this does not happen in a devotee, what he might do is he will play in his mind with anattas. You know, when a material desire or contamination enters the mind, sometimes we don't stop it immediately, but we think of it. This is a practice in brahmacharya life, or in when you are practicing the vow of celibacy, you have to start with your mind. When you see that a thought enters there which is not in accordance with your vows, you cannot play with your mind, but you immediately have to stop the thought to expand itself in your conscious awareness. Anyways, so when you do not desire, you have to start with, let us express it positively, you have to start with your desire. In fact, this is the only price which we will have to pay to enter the eternal kingdom of God. To desire it. You have to desire to become Krishna conscious, and you are desiring it. I mean, there is no... obviously, you desire everyone who is going on Sankirtan, he has a strong desire to serve Krishna. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to perform Sankirtan for so many years. But you are correct. As long as we are not purified, so it's very difficult to just desire purely. So therefore, purify your heart, become more aware of the absolute necessity of Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna always and chanting his names always. Become very aware of the necessity to follow strictly our rules of sadhana, which starts with observing the Mangala Arati ceremony, at least when one is in the temple, and become, you know, our day of sadhana starts then, and we all know there are so many things. Then you will be purified, and the more strong desire will come. Yes. This is a question which has to be answered in two contexts. One is the philosophical and one is the practical. I will talk about the philosophical aspects. Our temple management has to think about the practical, the organizational aspects. Yes, this movement is a Hare Krishna movement, and increasing the Harinam will definitely purify the sinful atmosphere of the Kali Yuga, and it will help us very much in advancing. Here Prabhupada said 24 hours chanting. There was a practical German who said that this is not possible. Then you can, hey, we are here in Germany, let us hear this. This German objection to increasing the chanting was, if chanting means out loud, how can you do it all day while you are working and in so many different situations? Srila Prabhupada, you chant low. There is no harm. Either loud or low, it doesn't matter. But you chant the holy name. By chanting the holy name, you associate with God. And by chanting more and more, your association becomes more and more intimate. So, yes, we should increase our chanting always, and we should increase our chanting. Party, we want to congratulate our bus party for finally having, stopped arranging that the bus comes out. And being able to flood the Germany with the nectar of the holy name. And if you have time in between, you might speak with Tadvasandhava Prabhu, and I'm certain that they will greet you with open arms and join the Isnit Garada. Our Madhavendra Puri joins the bus program. Even our Maharaj, he has said that in the next year he considers very strongly, I mean, he has much to do in the Mayapur project, and we have to pray to Krishna that it will be able for him to for some time come, but he wants to join the bus program and for however long it is possible for him. So, yes, welcome. So, and other programs in that it's, I want to draw also your attention now. I will speak like a manager. Our GBC, Srila Harikesh Maharaj Vishnupad, he mentioned this in his address to the Sankirtan devotees during Nrisimha Chaturthi. It was just before the day of Nrisimha Chaturthi. He said, Bhaktas, and Bhaktis, should go on Harinam and learn to distribute on Harinam maybe a few magazines or flyers so that they grow up in a spirit of preaching and spreading the movement and later can join the Sankirtan army. So this is what we will have, what is important. No, I'm sorry, Vrindavan Eshwari was first. Yes, please. Seems? Hare. The fact. We were shocked. Yes, please. Krishna is in a heart which is pure. The heart thinks of pop songs, then he doesn't come in this heart. Once we, Maya professor, that someone, I think again it was, I do not remember who expressed it so nicely. He said, if your Krishna wants to be in Mayapur and Vrindavan, pure spiritual, this is a pure spiritual atmosphere. He does not like to be in Paris or in Hamburg and so on. And he if our mind is engaged in material activities, Krishna won't take his place in our heart. But he may watch from the distance and he is still there and he destroys the attachments of his devotee. If a devotee is still attached and the material, in some ways, Krishna arranges it so that a little foolish devotee loses all his attachments. That's, I think, why Krishna sent you into the studio where you met your ex-star. So, we will have one last question by the Dada. I'm sorry. I saw him first. I can only go in a... Yes. Old question in new dress. Well, when you have a duty in your service, something which is necessary, you should continue even when you are disturbed. Because by this continuation, you show your loyalty to Krishna. If we only serve Krishna when we are blissful and in Krishna consciousness, and give up the service as soon as it becomes a little troublesome, then we are not very loyal to our master. It is also described the loyalty of the disciple to his own spiritual master is not so much and the disciple has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then he really shows his loyalty to his spiritual master. So by continuing in devotional service, even in troubled times, we will show Krishna that we are loyal to him and that we are his devotees. And after some time, there will be a shower of mercy. That is happening always to someone who continues in his service. Krishna, there are many possibilities. One is that he becomes very enthusiastic again in this service, which he feels a little disturbed with. Another is that the Vaishnavas change his service. They tell him, oh Prabhu, maybe you should do this here. And well, there are other possibilities also, that Krishna, the guru, changes his service, and so on and so forth. So the real answer is to continue, and what may be new is that by this continuation of your service, even when you are disturbed, you show your loyalty, and this showing of loyalty will induce Sri Krishna or the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas to shower their mercy on you in a way they please to do, and that will help you immensely. Now, what to do when you are disturbed? See, a brahmachari, that's why the brahmachari is so training. So it's a training ashram. It's not a waiting room for something else. It is a training ashram, because there you can learn the principles how to become determined. And I do not really want to talk on this now, because then I give my best points away. Must keep my attractions coming attraction. But suffice it to say, someone who is strong in the brahmachari ashram, he can be determined and rule and go on in a mind which is free from disturbance, you know, which he can tolerate the disturbance. He learns this. Again, so that I'm very aware that this point must be dealt with great careful. Well, our grihastas are described as brahmachari grihastas, as long as they keep the rules of associating with their wives. In Mahabharata, it is said that the grihastha who only meets his wife and for conceiving a child, I mean, who meets his wife in a sexual way, only for conceiving a child, he is called a brahmachari grihastha. This is a quote from Mahabharata. I was very amazed to find it even there. So, this... anyway, it's a long... Your question is how one can be determined, actually, to tolerate disturbance in the mind. Because only by determination to go on in your service, this is possible. And the determination is born out of, not thinking, not talking, not associating with women. It's one kind, one source of strong determination. Another source how to keep on without disturbance is in disturbance, talk with a devotee. He will help you. Or understand that the situation is only for a short time there, you will go into another situation. For instance, you are a bus program man, you went on Sankirtan for so long, but the bus program is waiting now. It is starting maybe this week even, isn't it? We have already started, yes. Sorry, yes, I remember yesterday. Anyway, so thank you very, very much for giving a patient hearing. I must be very thankful for you. I'm very happy to be again in this wonderful Heidelberg temple. after such a long time of absence. And this is certainly one the most important conquest over Maya in Germany, this temple. And there is a glorious future on this temple of preaching. So, Hare Krishna. Their hearts, he speaks of his devotees. They, you know, with a shining lamp of knowledge, destroy the darkness of ignorance. Again, just like in our fire example, we will be only freed from attachment, and we will be only ignited in Krishna consciousness. This fire of knowledge will only burn in us. This jnana dipena, it means torchlight of knowledge, will only burn in us when we are ready to give up our attachments. Please help me. Help me. And he said, yes. And told a story of a man who was in a well and shouted for help. Help me, help me. So someone gave a rope into the well. The man who was in the well again shouted, please help me to capture the rope, to catch the rope. That means he was not ready to take the help. Prabhupada said, the help is there for you. It is a process of devotional service. But now do not scream, help me to catch the rope. This you have to do yourself. You can only catch the rope and surrender to devotional service if we are free from material attachment. And this we have to do ourselves. This step we have to follow ourselves. And it says, by hearing about the Bhagavatam regularly, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. It says it's not completely destroyed, it's almost destroyed. So what is the rest which is still lingering in the heart? It is material attachment which we have to give up ourselves voluntarily by using our free will. It has to do with free will. Now when we join the movement of Krishna consciousness, we hear basically of four attachments. It's attachment to meat, to illicit sexual connections, to intoxication, and to gambling. At the time of initiation, we promise with a sacred vow to abstain from these four attachments. As long as someone keeps these four attachments, the demon Mada will enter into his brain. Mada means madness. And he will not be able to follow the noble path of Krishna consciousness. So, in this circle of devotees, we do not really need to talk about giving these up, these four impious attachments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, spoke of two attachments which devotees should give up. He spoke of to my mind now three things, instructions of Mahaprabhu come, and I can certainly imagine that when you research Mahaprabhu's teachings you will find we have found six more attachments we have to give up. I mean, you can I really didn't make an in-depth study before giving this lecture. Let's talk about what just comes immediately to mind. Now, one very strong one very devastating attachment is the attachment to women. and money. These two things should be given up. Another strong attachment, which we have discussed yesterday with a nice brahmachari, is the attachment to to activities in the association of devotees and non-devotees. When Mahaprabhu was asked, how can we recognize a devotee, he said, asatsang gatyagi, someone who has given up the association of non-devotees. At another time, he mentioned, you can recognize a devotee by seeing that he always chants the holy name. Anyway, this attachment to woman is very strong. It is, Prabhupada, he said, there is a... a very nice quote of Srila Prabhupada. There is a fire of Maya burning the very vitality of all living entities. That's a fire of attachment to women. Now, the half of our audience is Matajis, and I would like to read, therefore, so that we all understand the fullness of this statement, quote from Prabhupada, which I just happened to hear 2 days ago in a lecture. For the man, woman is woman. For woman, man is woman. Woman does not mean a particular class. Woman means that which are enjoyable. In this material world, man is enjoyable by the woman, and the woman is enjoyable by the man. So for both of them, yoshit. Yoshit means enjoyable. See, when we talk so strictly about rules of brahmacharya, this is celibacy, we include our ladies in it. When we talk so strictly about the process of Krishna consciousness, which is dependent on giving up the attachments to the opposite side, sex, we include women in it. The tendency to enjoy is there within the heart of all conditioned souls, be they dressed up in the form of a man or in the form of the women. This dress is really not very important. What is important is a service which we can do. However, this service and the determination to serve is hampered by attachment to a woman, or if you happen to be in the body of a woman, to man. This is very dangerous. It eats away all your vitality and all your determination to engage in service. This, again, I want to say, this body is not really important. The Bhagavatam, to make this point, tells us the story of Sudyumna. There is a forest where Lord Shiva enjoys with Parvati. It lies on the foot of Mount Meru. Once saints who wanted to see Lord Shiva came to this forest. However, Shiva was engaged in confidential activities with Parvati. And the saints entered. Parvati became very disturbed and just tried to cover her body so that the saints would not see her in this way. So when Shiva saw how his wife was so disturbed, he said, okay, Parvati, so that your emotions are no longer hurt again, I pronounce a statement. Anyone who from this day on enters this forest will have his body changed into the body of a woman. This is exactly what happened to Sudyumna and all his men. They innocently came into this forest. All of a sudden, they saw their body changed into the body of a woman, and they just, all they could do is stare each other in utter hopelessness. They were just so shocked. Imagine this happens to you. So later, by the potency of Vashishta, the king's body was changed back into a man, but this was even worse, because Vashishta could only change him for 1 year. Then he again became a woman. Then after that 1 year of being a woman, again for 1 year he became a king. A man. This was horrible. How can you rule like this? You know, every changing and also the whole change, the whole mind changes all the time completely around. So the people were highly dissatisfied with their unnatural changing king, as you can well imagine. Anyways, the main point of this is that the body can be changed also by modern operations. This is done in these crazy times. This is not the point, man or woman. And sometimes I feel in our hectic ISKCON times that women are not understanding this point properly. They feel discriminated, which shows that the spirit of this philosophical point is not yet fully captured. We must be extremely careful not to become wet by material attachment. That's why we want to give up the enjoying spirit. In order to do so, we as people born in this Kali Yuga have to be extremely careful in regards to Sangha. Anyways, this is a very serious point, a point which deserves our attention much, and we will hold in not too distant time a seminar on this. It will be called Brahmacharya, the Path to Eternality, and you will hear from Vishwadev Prabhu when this seminar takes place, and I would like to encourage all of you to kindly participate. It will help you very much in your spiritual life. So that's one point. Becoming wet by attachments to the opposite sex. Another is becoming wet to attachments to money. In this movement, we of course have the philosophy of Yukta Vairagya, that is, we engage money in Krishna service. However, while we are practicing this detachment in action, we must be highly responsible and understand the dangers of dealing with amounts of money and so on. And therefore, in Brahmachari Ashram, Brahmacharini Ashram, we are all giving our money away as soon as possible. We are not keeping anything for us. This is a practice which must be followed by everyone. Sannyasis must also be careful about not keeping money in bank accounts, but engaging it immediately in the preaching mission. Otherwise, this money will destroy the spiritual fiber of a renunciant. So Mahaprabhu also said attachment is to non-devotees has to be given up, and there are then these 6 points which need to be dealt with in a separate lecture. It's those subtle attachments which arise when you practice Krishna consciousness, the attachment which has been described as weeds which grow just next to the Bhakti Lata Beach. It's Kutinasha, attachment to diplomatic behavior, then fault finding, then envy, then activities which are contrary to the process of the Vedic principles. Oh, pratishtha is a very big one. Attachment to name, fame, and to glory. And there is another sixth attachment, which is just not just present to my memory. Puja, worship. Anyways, I will just mention these six things because otherwise it gets too dense and too difficult to remember. The devotee who is in the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness must be aware to give up these enjoying tendency. This means spiritual life. Spiritual life, Prabhupada said very humorously, does not mean to grow four hands. I wrote this down because it's so nice. Yes, it does not mean to grow four arms and legs, he even says. It means to give up this enjoying spirit. And he said, you cannot be mad actually for Krishna unless you give up the madness for the material enjoying mentality. As we said earlier, there is this curse pronounced about everyone who engages in these four principles. It is a curse pronounced by one Shravana Muni. He's mentioned in Bhagavatam. He is told some very interesting incident about his life. Is told, and he pronounced this curse. And you can see anyone who keeps attachments to these four things: illicit sex, meat eating, and these. Thing. He becomes mad. So you, as long as you are attached, you be mad, you cannot become mad for Hare Guna, to listen to the qualities of Krishna, and to involve your mind in Krishna consciousness. So in concluding this lecture, we want to read a very the concluding words of Prabhupada in Geneva in one Bhagavad Gita class. Please give your full attention. It is a very good instruction which you will hear now. This is very strong, and before actually reading it, I would like to just tell you all that when you look into the face of death, and that doesn't mean in a video by a Karmi, there's this video around. When you really look, when you have some experience in your life, how it is dangerous to live, it really changes you. Therefore, devotees in this movement should always remember three things. That is, the death is very close. We are passing through in this life. And the other is, use your time properly. Use your energy to don't waste it, but do activities which elevate you. And thirdly, keep a good sangha, good association with the devotees. So these are three instructions given to us. Now, because I just come from a situation where I had the good fortune to reflect again about smrit, about death, I just wanted to tell you, Prabhu, this is my gift to you, practical realization in the last days. We are only here for a short time. This is what I can say. So therefore, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, always remember Krishna. Death may take place at any time. Any moment you can die. There's no guarantee how long you will live. only the guarantee that we must die. Therefore, we must be prepared for death at any moment. Nowadays, death is very cheap. They're not in a very nice expression, very cheap. It's not very difficult to get it. Because we are using these motor cars and airplanes and ships, every moment there is danger of accident or collapse. We must be prepared for death at any moment. Death is assured. So our only duty is to eat prasadam. No! So our only duty is to think of Krishna, so that when we die at any moment, we will be spiritually saved. This is our only duty. We have no other duty. How to remember Krishna 24 hours. This is the greatest yogic perfection. This Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's so nice that as soon as you chant, you immediately remember Krishna. Chanting means remembering. If I'm chanting and there is death, I'm remembering Krishna. So where is my fear? I'm going back to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. It is so nice. Always be engaged in Krishna consciousness, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then you are sure and safe, not only in this life, but you are also going back home, back to Godhead.